The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders of the people, "Hear another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. Then he leased it to tenants and went on a journey. When vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to obtain his produce. But the tenants seized the servants, and one they beat, another they killed, and a third they stoned. Again he sent other servants, more numerous than the first ones, but they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, thinking, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to one another, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance.' They seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. What will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes?" They answered him, "He will put those wretched men to a wretched death and lease his vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the proper times." Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes.' Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit." The Gospel of the Lord. Don't want to act like I'm special or anything. We're all very unique, but I think my unique interests, like if you put them on a Venn diagram, would be very different than most people's. Maybe especially most priests, right? There's a lot of Jesus, a lot of sports, and some random 80s and 90s pop culture references. It's very, very eclectic. But today's second reading, I think, actually hits two of those right on the head. When we hear St. Paul tell the Philippians, the Christians in Philippi, "Have no anxiety at all, but everything by prayer and petition, make your requests known to God." Every time I read through that, I think of the 80s song, "Relax, Don't Do It," right? Where they had the big shirts that said, "Frankie Says Relax." And I always thought it was very odd, because if I'm anxious or worried, it's usually not because I just forgot to relax. Not that I just needed somebody to show up and go, "You know, just, I don't know, take a deep breath and relax." "Oh, thank you. That took care of it. I don't know why I didn't think of that." Usually when we're anxious or worried, it's because we're worried about how something's going to turn out, or if there's something bad that's going to happen soon on the horizon. It's usually just thinking or trying to choose to relax is usually not what helps us. Usually we need a reason to overcome that fear or anxiety that brings us to that place of peace. And it might sound to us in today's second reading that Paul is just being like Frankie and just telling the Christians, "You know what, just relax. God will take care of everything. It'll be okay. Just look on the bright side of life." But I actually think what St. Paul is saying is much more profound than that. I think what St. Paul is trying to tell the Christians in Philippi and us today is that we can find hope in Christ. Even when the world around us looks like a mess, even when we endure trials like he did when he was shipwrecked, or when he went to towns that threw him out of town or persecuted him. Now, Paul knew that those things didn't always turn out very well for him or for the people he was preaching to. But what he found over and over and over again was that Christ provided for him in those moments. That the Holy Spirit was active and working, and so he didn't have to rely on himself or the things of the world, but but that he could find peace in the Holy Spirit. He could find peace and confidence knowing that God would provide for him just as God had provided throughout the history of Israel and the people of God. In fact, I would say that's what the first reading and second reading are really pointing towards. They both talk about this vineyard that the owner has taken the time to cultivate and take care of. It also talks about how the servants don't take very good care of it, but we'll get to that later. But the owner has gone out of his way to remove the stones, to spade the ground, to plant nice vines, to build a wall around it so no animals or other plants come in or people come in and destroy it, puts it on a watchtower so they can keep an eye on it all throughout the year. The owner didn't just kind of plant a few seeds and hope things would work out okay. He's gone to great lengths to make sure that this is successful. But in both cases, the vineyard doesn't produce good fruit. First reading, it says instead of yielding grapes, it yields wild grapes. Now, I'm not a wine person or a farmer, so I don't know what wild grapes means, but some biblical scholars say it could also be translated as stinking grapes or smelly grapes. So it's literally just rotten fruit that it's producing. It's not producing any good fruit at all that could make any wine, which is why they planted the vineyard. Or in the gospel, Jesus tells this parable of the owner leaving and the tenants, but the tenants never harvest the fruit. The owner provides everything that they'll need. He sends workers so that they can do it, sending them multiple times, even sending the son. But every time, what do the tenants do? They grasp at that for themselves. See, it is a moment to seize some power or to get something for themselves. That's why they kill the son, so they can try to get his inheritance. Side note, that's not how inheritances work, but I'm not preaching about that here. And I think Paul understood this so well when he wrote to the Philippians. He saw that God had put in great work to cultivate the land, to give us through the Old Testament and the prophets, the law and how to follow God as the one true God. And over again, the people of God had kind of veered off that path to worship other gods or to do things in their own way, to take things into their own hands. To use the words from the great Christ hymn from last week in the book of Philippians, and rather than emptying themselves, they grasped at that authority and power, like our first parents, Adam and Eve, did when they sinned. And yet God continued to work, continued to try to do something good, to produce good fruit in this people and this creation that he had made, sending them more and more prophets that were rejected, sending them his son, Jesus, to teach us and pull us out of our sins. But even after that, St. Paul would say, God sent us his Holy Spirit to keep working in the world. Now, when Christ ascended into heaven, he didn't leave the world and entrust it to his apostles, saying, now you guys do everything in your power to keep it going. No, he said, keep it going, go preach to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But behold, I am with you always, and I will send you another advocate. I will send you the Holy Spirit to keep doing what God has always done, going out of his way to provide for his people and give them what they need, even in adversity. And so this sense of peace and being free from anxiety and worry isn't something that St. Paul says comes cheaply or easily. Instead, it came at a great cost, but it gives us a great confidence that God can do it again for us. I think that's why St. Paul was able to endure shipwrecks and persecutions and ultimately be led to his own martyrdom. It's because through his life, he learned to trust in that presence of the Holy Spirit. That his life wasn't always easy, or he didn't always understand perfectly how this was going to play out. But whenever he had those moments of fear or anxiety, whenever he wasn't sure how things were going to pan out or how God was going to work in those moments, kind of doubled down on the Holy Spirit. Kind of doubled down and said, okay, Holy Spirit, this isn't going to work if I do it on my own. So I need to see how you are going to make this work. I need to just cooperate with your grace so that you can continue to build up the kingdom of God. That's what I think he's telling the Christians of Philippi. He's encouraging them to double down themselves on the Holy Spirit, because that's what will ultimately overcome our anxiety and worry. It's not just thinking that we should not worry. We're reminding ourselves, oh yeah, I should just not be worried about that. Everything will turn out. Instead, it's to say, Lord, I might legitimately be worried about this. I might be a little bit concerned about how this is going to work out. But I also trust that you in your goodness will make good of it. That you'll use this moment and this circumstance to lead us closer to the heart of the Heavenly Father. The Holy Spirit doesn't abandon us in this circumstance, but instead, if we allow Him to, He can be that strength in our moments of weakness. I think that call to pray and bring our petitions to God our Father so that we can be free of anxiety and worry is especially important for us today. Just kind of generally in the world that we live in, but I mean, actually, literally this whole month of October in 2023. That might seem a random date that Father picked out of nowhere. But currently, with Pope Francis, are gathered bishops and priests and representatives from all around the world. They're gathered in Rome for a synod. They'll be there the whole month of October, and Pope Francis is asked to get really feedback from Catholics all around the world so that we can try to do the work of the Holy Spirit, that we can try to see how He is guiding the church. Now, this can produce great worry and anxiety in us. It can look like things are a little bit unstable, or what's the synod going to say, or what's the Pope going to say about this or that, or what about those cardinals that disagree with the Pope? I read some articles online about this or heard little snippets on the radio or on TV. And that, like I said, can, I think, rightly produce some fear and worry in us. Because we know human nature, and we know, even looking at the history of the church, that just because men wear a Roman collar or they're designated as representatives of the church does not always mean they're faithful to Christ or lead us in holiness. So I understand if you're a little worried or you're thinking, well, it sounded like Pope Francis is going to change this or that about the church. But I encourage you to go back to these words of St. Paul if you feel that fear or worry. But instead, have no anxiety at all, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. But again, that's not a cheap peace that St. Paul is offering us. But instead, he knew what it meant to be worried about things in the world, things that could really go badly. But what did he do? He doubled down on the Holy Spirit. And he said, God, if I just do it by myself, this is surely going to fail in probably spectacular ways. But I actually think if I let you do it, that it can be fruitful in some way, often a mysterious way, but it's going to go a lot better than if I do it on my own. So he doubled down on the Holy Spirit, trusting that the Holy Spirit would come through just as God has for hundreds and hundreds of generations. I actually think that's what Pope Francis is challenging us as Catholics to do with this synod. Now, Pope Francis is different from our previous popes. He's different from St. John Paul II and Pope Benedict. Both of them were very careful, were very precise in what they say so that it couldn't be misconstrued. Right? John Paul II was a philosopher, so he wanted to make sure everything was very specific, even if it was a little hard to read sometimes. And likewise, Pope Benedict was the head of the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, which means that he knew that anything that came out of the Vatican had to apply to all peoples all around the world at all times. He was very careful not to say anything that might apply over here in Europe, but not down in Africa or not in South America. And so both of them were often very careful with what they said, especially publicly, because they knew that it could be misconstrued or misunderstood out of context. But Pope Francis is different. And I don't think it's a bad thing, but it definitely takes some getting used to. Pope Francis is really okay with things being a little bit ambiguous or a little bit unclear. Again, I'm not going to say that's a good thing, but I think it's important to accept that that's different than how St. John Paul II and Pope Benedict were. They didn't want anything to be ambiguous or unclear. But I think the reason that Pope Francis wants to do that isn't because he has some master devious plan of where to take the church for his own glory or to lead it astray. Instead, I think, like St. Paul, he has actually a great trust in the Holy Spirit. And he says, I'm okay putting the church in this moment of tension, caught between two good things, because I actually think the Holy Spirit will show us where to go. I might have heard that they're talking about if there should be married priests or ordained women priests. I'd have heard that the Pope and some people close to him are talking about what we should do with same-sex relationships or how the church can bless them or help those people. And again, that can make us squirm a little bit. It can make us feel like, well, if the Democratic vote goes the wrong way, the church is going to change her teaching and it's going to be all messed up. Instead, I think Pope Francis is okay putting us in that moment of tension. I'm saying, what is the role of women in leadership in the church and leading us in holiness? How does that fit in with the true definition of the sacrament of marriage and priesthood? The good of the ministerial priesthood that Christ established for us. Both of those things are good. So let's look to the Holy Spirit and see how we can go in both directions. And if I need to grow in this direction or that direction, let the Holy Spirit help me to do that. Or if it's how are we called to love our brothers and sisters that struggle with same-sex attraction or are in those relationships? And how are we also supposed to maintain the sanctity of marriage and the goodness of the family unit? I think Pope Francis wants to throw out either of those, but he wants to kind of throw it on the desk of the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, how are we called to do both these things right now, today? And it certainly can make us a little uncomfortable, maybe even a little bit worried. But I think the words of St. Paul should be a great source of hope and comfort to us. That when we do have those moments of worry, we can say, God, I don't have to worry. That I am concerned that this is going to go in a bad direction. But I can also trust that your Holy Spirit will make good of it. Your Holy Spirit will not abandon the church, but that actually it's the Holy Spirit that's guiding us always, especially in this synod. If you're not sure if you can trust what's going on in Rome, I would encourage you to read the homily that Pope Francis gave for the opening of the synod. I think it was Wednesday in Rome. As he talked very forcefully to the delegates and said, this isn't some sort of political machination. The point of this isn't for us to get together and to decide what we want and to lead the church in our image and likeness. Instead, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Our job is just to cooperate with that. Brothers and sisters, that's the call that we're each called to do individually, but also that the church is called to as a whole. So let us, like St. Paul, find ways to relax, to be at peace and comfort, knowing that he does not abandon us. Not because that's easier, just because we can be optimistic and know that everything will turn out okay. Instead, that we don't have to have any fear or anxiety that cannot be overcome. Because we trust that that God who has worked hard to cultivate and to provide for his vineyard will continue to do it day after day. That his Holy Spirit will not abandon us. Instead, it will strengthen us and provide for us, showing us that path to holiness today and each of the days of our life.